What is your sticking point when it comes to faith in Christ? Is it the issue of unbelief? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
What do you have to do to go to hell?
Nothing.
You're on the highway to hell. You have to stop and receive Christ in order to be taken from the broad road and put on to the narrow road. For a non-Christian, the issue of unbelief is critical. And there's opportunity right now to get right with God. Today, if you hear His voice, respond to Him.
This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And welcome to the broadcast today that is, as you can already tell, going to be pretty direct and will pull no punches on the question that all of us have to answer and will answer one way or the other. It's the issue of unbelief, and that can be a sticking point for a lot of people, maybe you. For the rest of this month, we're going through the timely series from Pastor Jeff called Sticking Points, Overcoming Obstacles to Faith, where he's sharing the fact that unbelief reveals a serious heart problem that is very costly. Today we'll be reminded that God's promises are experienced through faith, by our faith, and an unshakable belief in His Word. The message today is entitled, The Issue of Unbelief, and we'll hear part two today. Now this message is one of four in the series, Sticking Points, and you can get this series for a gift of any amount from His Heart this month. You can just go to fromhisheart.org for details. Now, though, open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 3. Here again is Pastor Jeff Shreve to conclude the message called The Issue of Unbelief.
The writer of Hebrews, we don't know who the writer of Hebrews was, but he's writing to a Jewish audience. And in chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, he gives a stern warning about the issue of unbelief. He says this, "Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me. For who provoked Him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they should not enter His rest, but to those who were disobedient? And so we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief." Unbelief. A huge issue, unbelief, a huge sticking point. So we want to look at the issue of unbelief as it relates to the unsaved person and the issue of unbelief as it relates to the saved person. Let's start with the unsaved first. For a non-Christian, the issue of unbelief is the critical issue. It's the critical issue in all of life because it determines all of eternity. The issue for an unbeliever. He says in verse 14, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end." The way you know that a person is really a Christian, it's hard to tell just on the outward. We don't look at the heart. God looks at the heart. God knows who's genuine and who's not. The scripture says the Lord knows those who are His. But the way that you can tell someone is genuine is, do they continue on in the faith? Are they firm until the end? There's a little phrase that says this, "The faith that fizzles had a flaw from the first." If you don't keep going on with the Lord, that doesn't mean that you lost your salvation. It means you never had it. And so he is speaking to people. He says, listen, if you're a partaker of Christ, if indeed this is real in your life, if it's not, then you need to take heed in an even more serious manner, because your eternity rests upon this. It's a critical issue. Now, you mark it down. The end result of unbelief is eternal hell. But it's not that God sends you there. You're already going there. See, people that say, I can't believe in a God who would send people to hell that don't believe in him, they're looking at it all wrong. Here's the way to understand hell. You, as a person born into this world, you're born with a disease. The disease is called sin. Everyone is born with sin. And we're dead in our trespasses and sins. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, we're sinners by birth, we're sinners by nature, we're sinners by choice, we're sinners by practice, we're sinners, every single one of us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages, Romans 6:23, of sin is death. So we all have this disease, this internal disease, think of it like an internal terminal cancer called sin, and he offers you his hand to save you. And it's a nail-scarred hand, and you reject the hand. You say, get out of here, I don't want that. You blow that off. You say, I don't want your remedy. I'm going to go my own way. And then you have the audacity, as you go your own way, to look at him and to say, now, if I die and go to hell, it'll be your fault. It's not his fault. It's your fault. That's why Revelation chapter 20, when the Lord has the great white throne judgment, the scripture doesn't say this, but it implies this. At the great white throne, when all the people, all the rejectors are there before the Lord, he will say to them, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. But he will say this to every single person, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will. My will is that you wouldn't perish. My will was that you would have trusted me as Savior and Lord, but you said no to me. So not my will, but yours be done. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Hey, for a non-Christian, the issue of unbelief is critical. Critical. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation, it talks about the glories of heaven in Revelation 21, and then it says this in verse 8, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Did you get that? Cowardly, abominable, murderers, immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, and the unbelieving. What do you have to do to go to hell? Nothing. You're on the highway to hell. You have to stop and receive Christ in order to be taken from the broad road and put on to the narrow road. So that's the first issue in the sticking point of unbelief. For a non-Christian, it's the issue that is critical. Now, secondly, let's talk about for a Christian. For a Christian, the issue of unbelief is the costly issue. Costly, because that's not going to determine whether you go to heaven or hell. What determines whether you go to heaven or hell is what do you do with Jesus? As Pilate said, what then shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? Now, a Christian has received Christ. He's seen his need, she's seen her need, trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord. But how do you live the Christian life? How is life lived on the narrow road? It's lived by faith. It's lived by faith. And so verse 12 says this, take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. This is a stern warning. Hey, be careful here, because if you're not careful, what happened to the children of Israel can happen to you. That there should be an evil. That word means to be diseased, to be sick. It's what Jeremiah said about the heart. It's deceitful and wicked and sick. Above all else, who can know it? And the Lord says, take care that that evil, ill, diseased heart of unbelief doesn't get in you. Now, the unbelief that's used here, the word doesn't mean honest doubt. It means a refusal to believe. It means a hardened heart that refuses, stubborn heart that refuses to believe. And see, the Christian life is all about faith. It's all of a walk of faith. We enter the Christian life by faith. We continue in the Christian life by faith. Colossians 2 verse 6 says, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How'd you receive him? By faith. How do you walk in him? By faith. And God's promises are experienced through faith. Everything in the Christian life is through faith. That's why it says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. If you don't have faith, if you're not believing God, you can't please him. It's impossible to please him because that's the currency of Christianity. The currency of a relationship with God is that you believe him and you walk by faith and not by sight. Now it says in chapter 4, verse 2, for indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And when you hear the word of God, you need to take what you hear and unite it by faith. You believe it and you step out on it. That's what faith is. It's taking God at his word. It's believing that God, what God says is going to come to pass. Now, the example that he uses is the children of Israel. And the children of Israel, namely, when they didn't go into the promised land when they were supposed to do that. And see, we walk by faith and not by sight. And some people think, well, you know, I mean, if I have trouble believing certain things, you know, God doesn't get mad at me. Note this. If you're struggling with doubt, God's okay with that. John the Baptist, he struggled with doubt when he was in prison and he sent some of his messengers to come to Jesus and say, are you the one that you're the Messiah or is there someone else? Because I didn't expect for me to be in prison. And so he had honest doubt. He brought those to the Lord. That is good. That is fine. Every one of us deals with doubt. And when difficulties come into life and you can have questions and you don't understand, you bring those to the Lord. He wants you to do that. It's like the man who had the demon-possessed son said to Jesus, if you can do anything to help us, please help us. And Jesus said, what's this if stuff? If you can, all things are possible to him who believes. And the man said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. That's fine to do that. See, that's an honest doubt that you bring to the Lord. Hebrews is not talking about honest doubt. It's talking about getting hardened in disbelief. And what he uses as the example is the children of Israel when they didn't go into the promised land. See, God's anger burns when we refuse to walk by faith. God had his people primed to go into the promised land. He had delivered them out of Egypt. He brought them to Mount Sinai, brought them through the Red Sea. Great, huge miracle, gigantic miracle. Wiped out Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. Brought them to Mount Sinai, gave them the Ten Commandments. And then he brought them up to the border of the promised land at a place called Kadesh Barnea. He sent the spies in there, had Moses send the spies in there. And they came back with a negative report. 12 spies, two of them, Joshua and Caleb, had a positive report. This is what God has promised. Let's go get the land. But 10 of them had a negative report. And the negative report overshadowed the positive report. And the people wept and they said, we can't go in the land. There are giants in the land. Why did the Lord bring us here only to kill us in the wilderness? Oh, would that we had died in the wilderness or would that we had died in Egypt. Now we're just going to go and get wiped out in this promised land. It would be better for us, they said, to go back to Egypt. So they appointed a leader to take them back to Egypt. And Moses fell on his face and cried out to the Lord. And Joshua and Caleb said, well, by all means, we should go into the land. Why are you rebelling against the Lord? God has given us that land. I don't care how big those people are. They're not as big as God. But the people prevailed and they were going to stone Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb with stones. And then the Lord shows up and the Lord weighs in. And this is what the Lord had to say. He was angry. And it says in Numbers 14:11, and the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people spurn me? And how long will they not believe in me despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst? God says to Moses in the very next verse, I'm going to wipe them out and start over with you. And Moses had to intercede for the people. Otherwise, God was going to destroy them. He was very angry. He says in the book of Psalms, Psalm 95, speaking of this incident, he said, for 40 years, I loathed that generation. I loathed them. He was angry with them. I mean, he's not just a little bit perturbed. He's angry. He's grieved, displeased, and disgusted with them. Why? Because they wouldn't believe him. How long will they not believe me in spite of all the signs I have done in their midst? They knew God was there. His presence was visible. the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. They had seen what God had done, but they kept trying the Lord. They kept testing the Lord. They kept saying, well, how do we know God is really among us? Let's have God do another miracle. Maybe he could do another miracle. We're thirsty, and God brought water from the rock. Well, that ought to be enough, but there was always something else. And when God would provide for them, they'd moan and groan and whine and gripe. God rained down bread from heaven. What'd they say? We loathe this miserable manna. We loathe this miserable food. And they wouldn't believe God when it was time to go in to the promised land and enjoy the promises of God. They didn't get to go in. Why? Because of unbelief. Now, I want to ask you, make it very personal. Because he says in verse 12, take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart and falling away from the living God. What is the Lord telling you to do that you're saying, no, I won't do it. I can't do it, Lord. See, sometimes the Lord will come and he'll tell us, I want you to go to that person, the one that you wronged, and apologize. And you're like, I just can't do that, Lord. I don't want to do that, Lord. That would be too hard. I just can't do that. I mean, that's a giant, and I don't want to face that giant. And so, no, I'm not going to do that. Lord, ask me to do something else. I'll do anything else, but I won't do that. Maybe God says to you, I need you to forgive that person who hurt you, who hurt your family. You say, oh, Lord, you know I hate that person who hurt me. Yeah, and you can't serve me with hate in your heart toward that person. So you need to get rid of that. Oh, I don't know, Lord. I don't want to do that. You know, God is not running a democracy here. It's God. He's master and you're servant. The servant doesn't say to the master, well, I'll think about it. You're not going to be a servant for very long if that's the case. He's the master. You do what he says. But how many of us will say no to the Lord? When Debbie and I were at the hotel in Augusta, they had a sign that many of you are familiar with. It was a little do not disturb sign. We like those in the hotel because you can put it on your door and say, hey, leave me alone. Don't come in my room here to clean up. We're in here. And so just do not disturb. You know, we have those in our lives. We put it up before the Lord. We have rooms in our hearts where we say, Lord, don't deserve this room, Lord. You know, maybe it's the door to your social life. And you say, well, you know, Lord, I like to party and I like to, I'm kind of immoral and I like to drink and I like to get high and I like to do this. So don't disturb me, Lord, because I'll come on Sunday and I'll praise you. But now don't go in this room. Do not disturb that room because that's just for me. Beware, take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart and falling away from the living God. Some people put the do not disturb sign on their finances. So, well, God, you know, I don't be asking me for anything, Lord, because my money is my money. And so I'm willing to throw a couple of bones your way, but that belongs to me. And so don't go there. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains. Everything belongs to God. So we put up those signs, do not disturb. And we have those areas where we say, no, I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to do the other. As I've told you before, you can't serve God by saying, no, Lord. You either say, yes, Lord, or you say, no, sir. But you can't say, no, Lord, because as soon as you say, no, he's not Lord. He's not master of your heart and of your life anymore. The children of Israel said no to the Lord. And the Lord said, I swore in my wrath, you shall not enter my rest. You're going to wander around in circles for 40 years, and you're going to know my opposition, and you're going to miss out on what I wanted to give you. What do we say? Unbelief for the lost person, it's critical because it results in eternal hell. Unbelief for the saved person is costly because you miss out on what God wants to do in your life. Not only in this life, but then when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ. See, the lost person, he stands at the great white throne judgment. Everyone at the great white throne is lost. Everyone is going to experience the second death, not because God wants that, it's because they said no to Jesus. But when you die as a Christian, you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's to receive reward or suffer loss, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And so not only if you say no to God, I won't go forward because I don't want to forgive, or I don't want to give, or I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that, or I'm going to keep living an immoral lifestyle and that's just the way it's going to be. Then the Lord says, well, you miss out. You're going to miss out in this life, and you're not going to know my joy, and you're not going to know my peace, and you're not going to know my plan for your life. You're just going to wander around in circles. And when you die and you stand before me at the judgment, you're going to see that you built your life on wood, hay, and straw. And it's going to be tested by fire, and it's going to go up in smoke. And all that's going to remain is the foundation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't lose your salvation, but you don't get any reward. Can you imagine? It's costly for a Christian to live in unbelief. The Bible gives the call. Acts 3:19. So all of those, all of us, maybe we're here and we say, I'm like the children of Israel. I haven't gone into the land. And what do I do? I mean, am I just stuck now? I'm just going to be wandering around for the rest of my life and God is mad at me and angry with me? No, because Acts 3:19 says this, repent therefore and return, that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You can repent. You can return. You can experience God's refreshing power in your life. Now, things may be different, and you might have missed your window of opportunity to experience some of the things God wanted you to experience. But remember this, if you have a pulse, you have a purpose. And if you have a purpose, you have a praise. And there's opportunity right now to get right with God. That's why it says, verse 15, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. Today, if you hear his voice, respond to him. Repent therefore and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Hey, you stuck in unbelief? The Lord is faithful and true. It's impossible for him to lie. You can believe what he says.
Now, today you heard part two of the message, The Issue of Unbelief, from Pastor Jeff Shreve's featured series this month, Sticking Points, Overcoming Obstacles to Faith. Well, some things are meant to stick to us, like families that stick together, facts before a test in school. It's good when they can stick into the brain. But sometimes sticky things are bad, like when you have sticking points that keep you from giving your all to Christ. For some, it's unbelief, or just the idea of religion, or trials that you can't overcome. Pastor Jeff has an enlightening series of four messages that we're airing this month to give you key insights into how to unstick the obstacles that are clinging to you and keeping you from living a full, faithful life. The series is called, as we've said, Sticking Points, Overcoming Obstacles to Faith. And it's our gift of thanks to you for your support of any amount to the ongoing outreach From His Heart this month. It's available on a USB flash drive, MP3 download, CDs or DVDs, you pick. And with that gift, we'll also send you Pastor Jeff's important booklet called Not Guilty. To get the booklet and the series, call 866-40-BIBLE. That's 866-40-BIBLE. Or go online to fromhisheart.org. And make your gift this month to receive the Sticking Points series and the Not Guilty booklet. Thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting that today's lesson was a blessing to you and that you'll join us next time for the next lesson in Pastor Jeff's Sticking Points series that'll help you overcome your lack of faith even when you go through significant trials and tragedies. Be with us next time when we'll again open God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve in our 20th year of broadcasting the truth and love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org.